Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Augur prayed that God would keep falsehood and lies far from him, and to give him neither poverty nor riches, but only his daily bread. This reflects a desire for honesty and contentment, avoiding the temptations that come with both extreme wealth and extreme poverty. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 30, verse 7, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Vanity. Just read through the book of Ecclesiastes. There's so many people who think, if I had a little bit more money, if I had a little bit more pleasure, if I had a little bit more of this, if I had a little bit more of that, well, spare yourself the quest for those things. Solomon would have been the wealthiest man on the planet, and he had everything. He had gardens. He had music. He had all the things that a man could ever want. And when he had it all, he said, it's vain. It's vain. It's empty. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and obey him, for that's what life is all about. He says, give me food that is convenient for me. What did Jesus say in that prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. And so Agur desires to be kept away from the dangers of extreme poverty or extreme riches. He's desiring to live a life of moderation, a life of contentment. That's what the Apostle Paul writes about in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here's a scripture that is taken so much out of context. In this context, it says, I can do all things, what? Through Christ who strengthens me. I can live with much, I can live with little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, I've learned wherever God has me tonight to be content. Contentment isn't a word that you see, that you hear about much these days. And yet you and I should be the most content people on the planet. We're heaven bound. Kathy reminded us tonight, if you needed to be reminded, we're going to heaven. You know, we've got so much to look forward to. And learning to just enjoy what the scripture says. He's God, whatever God has given to you, he says, enjoy it. And if you or I cannot enjoy what he's given to us, why do we think that if we had more stuff, we would be content? That's like a proverbial black hole. Learn to enjoy what God has given to you. Some of you have been there. You've had to live with little. And then God has blessed you, and now you have been given abundance. Praise him for it. Thank him for it. Learn to live in the means that you have tonight. And thank God for it. Now, Augur prays this way. Look at why. He says in verse 9, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. The idea behind the question, who is the Lord, is one of extreme arrogance and haughtiness. So who's the Lord? That's the idea here. In describing these kinds of people, Job wrote in Job 21, verses 14 and 15, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? And that's really the philosophy of the world. They don't want to hear of the Almighty One. They don't want to know the knowledge of his ways. They think that they are self-made men or women. But little did they know that every human being created in the image of God, God is the one that blesses us. God is the one who shows his goodness by even blessing some of the most sinful people on the planet, because it's intended to lead them to repentance. We have such a wonderful God. And here Augur says, Lord, I'm afraid that I would live in such a way, I would speak in such a way that would misrepresent who you are. And I think that that's a good thing to pray. Lord, just work in our lives that we may never take your name in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse you and you be found a liar. And now he begins to address a generation. Verse 11, there is a generation, this could be a class of persons or a type of a person, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. And he's speaking here of those who do not honor, but who evil treat their parents. And again, we see so much of that happening in our nation, don't we? So much dishonoring of parents. The generation that disobeys God's command to honor your father and mother. They are put on full display. This was happening back in the days when Agur's writing this. How much more would he say today? The generation that dishonors their parents sows seeds of conflict that grow into a bitter harvest of personal and community strife. And you tell me, is that what we're seeing in our nation? We're seeing this very thing happening in our nation. Because we've despised the Almighty. We've despised His Word. We don't want to hear what God has to say. We'll tell you what a family is. We'll tell you what gender is. And we're seeing all of this happening in our nation. Verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness, pure in their own eyes. This speaks of an individual or a group of people that are self-righteous, supposing themselves pure when in reality they're filthy. You can't help but think of that very, very religious Pharisee in the temple in Luke chapter 18. You know whom I'm talking about. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are. Boy, that's a wow. Notice it says he prayed thus with himself. God's not even listening to this guy. I thank you that I am not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican over here. What's he doing in this temple? I fast. I give tithes of all that I possess. I forgot what Puritan said. This man had the eye disease. I. He was pure in his own eyes, but in the eyes of God, he was filthy. You see, you can be religious and yet self-righteous. When a person is born again, truly born again, one of the things that God will begin to chip away at is that innate pride that you and I step into this world with. You know, when you're a little baby, and if you've had children and grandchildren, they just naturally think that the whole world revolves around them. When they want to cry, the whole family has to get up. They want to be fed, they shake their rattles, and we just learn how to develop that, right? There's a generation that is blind to their own stain of sin. They're not washed from their own filthiness. You know, it's been said, and it is true, when we ignore or cover our sin, it never gets resolved. A generation pure in their own eyes, and yet they're not washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he told them to live in such a way that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Now notice, he says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You and I are called to shine for Jesus in this dark world. And he calls this world crooked and perverse. That's what this fallen world system is. You know why? Because they're living by the principles of the God of this world, who is Satan. Another revelation, another reference to the generation of verse 13. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Again, speaks of people who are full of vanity, full of pride, arrogant, rude. But the Bible tells us very, very clearly beloved. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that word resists means God is actively opposed to a person, to a nation, whatever, that is given to pride. What was it that turned a cherub into a devil? Pride. Pride. Pride is the most vile sin, the most corrupting sin. And the worst of it is religious pride, spiritual pride. There is a generation, verse 14, whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives. Notice why. To devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And so the dominant vice of this perverse generation is what? Greed. Greed. They're a generation of people who are cruel, especially cruel to the oppressive, to the poor, the horse leech. You know what a horse leech is? I looked it up so that I could get this straight. The horse leech is a large, blood-sucking, fresh water leech that infests the mouths and nasal passages of horses. That sounds nasty. The horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give, another, give, give, more, more, more. Again, I really hate to be repeating myself so much, but that sounds so much like the world system that we live in. We want more, more of this, more of this. And the more that we ask for, the emptier we become as a nation, the more vain we become. And then he gives four examples of this horse leech greed. Three things that are never satisfied. Four things say not it is enough. The grave, people never stop dying. The barren womb, there's always a woman that is bearing children. The earth that is not filled with water, the earth continually absorbs water. And the fire that says it is enough. In other words, if you were to go home tonight and you had a little place to have a little fire in your backyard, if you just kept on adding wood, it would go forever and ever. You put it out. If the fire had its way, it would burn the whole neighborhood down. Never says it's enough. Greed. Greed never is satisfied. A greedy person never has enough. That's why the Bible tells us to beware of covetousness. Because a man's life, a person's life, does not consist in the abundance of the things that he or she possesses. Our life was never intended to revolve around things, but around God, around people. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. This proverb speaks about the tragic results of disrespect for parental authority and the personal consequences of that sin. David Guzik wrote this: "The ravens are a type of bird which frequent the places where dead carcasses and waste are most likely to be found." Augur used a vivid poetic description to tell of the ruin waiting for the child who mocks and scorns their parents. The poetic image is doubled, sending multiple ravens and young eagles to do the terrible but fitting work. This fool was blind in his mocking and disobedience. This poetic image tells of a fit penalty for someone so morally and spiritually blind. And again, we see this happening in our nation. Verse 18, "There be three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I know not." In other words, too wonderful, things whose ways really cannot be traced, but they leave a mark behind. "There is the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, the way of a man with a maid." An eagle leaves no trace of its flight patterns in the air. Did you ever notice that? they just fly. There's no trace. It's not like, you know, you can see a plane and they've got the smoke that comes out of the engine and all. And so eagle leaves no trace. A snake leaves no trace of its direction on the rocks. A ship leaves no trail in the sea. And the relationship of a virgin, if it is chaste, likewise leaves no observable change. But then it says in verse 20, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. And so these are all examples of an adulterous woman who wipes her mouth and means that she seeks to hide all of the marks of her guilt and passes herself for an innocent person. Eating food is a metaphor for making love in Proverbs 9:17. Very, very interesting. Things that can't be traced. And how an adulterous woman, she wants to cover her tracks. And so do adulterous men. Let's not be a respecter of persons here. They figure they want to cover their tracks. The only thing is that they really never cover their tracks. Your sin always has a way of finding you out. Verse 21, for three things the earth is disquieted. That means trembles or quivers or quakes in restless motion. And for four, it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. And so Augur tells us that society is greatly agitated when normal roles are overturned. And he speaks of four intolerable events that are simply unbearable to observe. Look at them. Number one, when a servant is reigning, and the idea here is the sudden promotion to prominence of individuals that are going to cause great ruin. That's a topic for this election year. The sudden promotion of people who are ill-equipped for the job that they're going to get. But it happens. It happens in every sphere of life. That's the truth of this proverb. How many of us have experienced some tragic consequences because of someone being promoted to a place that they ought not to have been promoted to? Another thing, when fools are made rich, that's unbearable. When hated women are married, that's unbearable. When maid servants become wives by default and in so doing makes her insufferably proud and scornful. The ESV Study Bible nails it. These four persons are unbearable because they have been given things that they have no capacity to handle wisely. There be four things that are literal upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. This is where watching Discovery Channel documentaries are really, really good. Do you like those Animal Kingdom documentaries? Oh, they are so fascinating. And here's one. The ants are a people not strong. I don't like to have them in the house, but I like to watch ants when they're outside. Did you ever watch those little critters? Man, alive. It says the ants are a people not strong. They are models for people who desire. They're a good example of hard work and preparation. And then it says the conies, or the rock badgers, are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The conies are known for their diligence in seeking safety. The locusts have no king. And go they forth, all of them, by bands, the locusts by their order and working together in harmonious ranks. And then the spider that takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces, known for their skill in weaving that web. Isn't it interesting? Watching, observing animals. I just love observing God's creation. Does it amaze you when you look at animals? I mean, the creative genius of God. I just love watching animals. A zebra. When God created that, when it run out of black paint or white paint or something, you know? You just see some of these creatures. They're just They're just so awesome. And here, Augur is talking about the ants, the conies, the locusts, the spider. I mean, this is all meant to just cause us to have this great awe of God. He's created all of these things. There be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely in their going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turns not away for any. A greyhound and an he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. These four creatures, they kind of all stride with royal dignity. The lion, you know, the strongest of beasts. The greyhound, man, they're fast. The he-goat, and then it says a king. In other words, like the other three creatures, a king whose wisdom is shown by being secure against revolt. And then the last two proverbs here for tonight. If you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay your hand over your mouth. So evidently, there are some people who think foolishly and lift themselves up. Probably not anybody here. And there's probably not anybody here that's ever thought evil. But if you have tended to think foolishly and thinking that you're something that you're not, or if you've thought evil, here's good advice. Put your hand over your mouth. Be quiet. The spirit of ambition and self-exaltation is as foolish as it is wicked. And face it, proverbs like this are not in the Bible because you and I don't wrestle with it from time. You ever thought evil and just don't speak it? You ever thought foolishly and lifting up yourself? It's a bad thing to do. The last verse for tonight. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. Again, David Guzik in closing said this. Rather than letting hurt feelings heal, those who continually revisit problems and rekindle the fire of misunderstandings will make the situation infinitely worse, as sure as stirring milk results in butter and wringing the nose brings forth blood. You never read of anything good in the Bible when it speaks of strife. There's always consequences of strife. And here we're warned about a kind of wrath that brings forth strife, and how we need to just be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says only by pride comes contention. You know, and strife has hurt more people in the church than drugs and alcohol combined. Strife and contention. And may God please do that work of convicting us in that area. The forcing of wrath brings forth strife. My, oh my. Every word of God is pure. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Kids from 4 to 10 years old are invited to a one-day VBS on Saturday, August 9th at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Gather up the kids in the neighborhood and join us as we learn about the gospel and have fun playing games, making crafts, and singing songs about the love of Jesus. This magnified one-day VBS is from 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. and includes a complete lunch. Saturday, August 9th at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Stick around after for more free food, a bounce house, and games next door at Edmund Lyon Park. Register today at koinoniafellowship.com. See you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.